Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're going to finish up this short little series we've been talking about, answering some questions about why we don't use scriptural references to support what we teach or think or believe, or even just in our conversations about who God is and what he's doing. And we've gone through quite a few different aspects of that, about how relying on the scriptures keeps us from hearing specifically what God is saying. It's a filter that when we have a filter, we don't see things clearly. We don't see things, hear things immediately. We don't test it for ourselves. We rely on the authority that we perceive is in the scriptures, and we limit God, and we limit ourselves by our understanding of who he is when we use that filter of the scriptures. So we also, it also takes time to use any filter. And whether it's a person, whether it's the scriptures, whether it's our own belief, when we get to know God the way he wants us to in our soul, again, you already do in your spirit, we limit what we hear and also how quickly we hear. We basically restrict his immediacy by saying, okay, God, thanks for that word. I'll go check it out. I'll go see if it's true. And we use the scriptures inappropriately. We use them to limit God. And I always wonder if people think that when they get to heaven and they're sitting around at the feet of Jesus and he's teaching them and or sharing with them or just being with him, if they're going to say, well, hold that thought, God. Let me check with the scriptures. Let me read it in this book that I brought with me. Hopefully nobody's saying that the scriptures are the an additional part of the Godhead, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and book. So maybe, I don't know. But the point being that when we add that additional layer in, we are cutting off the immediacy. When God says go, he means go now. And if we don't hear him clearly, if we don't know how to test what he's saying, when we don't know how to evaluate what to do with it, you know, by asking, and if we don't learn how to be healed, how to develop our own judgment, how to know when to trust in ourselves and when not to know ourselves, to know how we operate, to know how God operates. We have so much learning set aside for this time period here on this earth that we are neglecting. And I'm of the firm, as time goes by, I am even more and more convinced that what we don't learn now, we will learn in whatever's next. And that there was something before this. I don't know, I doubt that it was on this earth, but it could have been. There's this idea that what we believe about heaven and hell and earth and revelations and the coming and the going and this, that, and the other thing is accurate. And we, one of the reasons we do that, we cling to those beliefs. Whatever you're believing now, whatever you're feeling, reacting right now, going, wait a minute, you can't say that that's not true. The reason you're reacting to that is because it's challenging your sense of control. It's challenging your belief system. And all your belief system is how to set boundaries, how to be in control, how to know what you're supposed to do. And again, this has nothing to do with motive. Of course you want to please God. Of course you want to be in His will. There's never any doubt to that. But if you've been told that in order to please Him, in order to be in His will, you need to know the scriptures, you've been lied to. That's simply not true, and nowhere in the scriptures does it say that. So we say we're following a manual, a handbook, and yet we don't. Because nowhere in there does it say that in order to know God, you need to know what John chapter 3 is. And I was just thinking, preparing for this show, how frustrated Paul must be that he, I'm sure, wrote hundreds of letters to the churches. Let's think about how the Bible was written and why. And I won't go into great detail now, but if this is interesting to you, if this is something God is inspiring you to do, research how and when and who wrote the Bible that you are using right now, whatever it happens to be, whether it's whatever version or translation. If that's something that's rising up within you, whether in a good way or a bad way, you know, ask the Lord if that's something He wants you to spend time on, because it can be very time-consuming. But it will be enlightening if that's an area, if you're having a struggle with letting go and letting the Bible just be the Bible, a book, a series of books, a bunch of letters that are good for edification. That's what the Bible claims. For encouragement, not to be a substitute for God, not to be God, but to direct you to Him, to say this is the way. These are some of the things that Jesus. It's to provoke us to know Him. And when we look at let's look at the first five books of most people's canon, the book of Moses, the books of Moses. People think that Moses wrote them. And nothing could be farther from the truth. They were written well after the exile. And they were written in various times and various stages and by at least a couple people. And they were written for a purpose. There was a reason. It wasn't just recording history. The purpose of the writing of the first five books of Book of Moses was to create or reinforce a national identity for the people of Israel, to give them a sense of what had been an oral history, to put that oral history down in writing, because they were being dispersed and they needed something to rally around. So there's a perfectly legitimate, honorable, and right reason to do that. But there were more than one version, historically speaking. And again, our purpose is not to tear it down, but to keep it from being raised up. It is what it is. wonderful historical records and references, but certainly not holy, unalterable, unquestionable. When we look at the history of it, it is what it is. It doesn't affect our relationship with God at all, that parts of it have been excluded and some questionable parts have been included in our modern day Bible. And then we zoom forward and we look at, well, let's just look at the Gospels real quick. We have four what we call Gospels included in our Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People think that the New Testament begins with Matthew. And that is one of those things that has reinforced the whole concept of the whole mixing of law and grace. Well, the Old Covenant was still in effect while Jesus ministered. His being born didn't change anything. It was his death and resurrection that changed everything, not his being born. And most of what the Gospels are about talk about his life here on this earth. Now, he gave tons of wonderful examples, and we have written tons of wonderful examples and illustrations and stories, and they make great reference points, and we use some of those. But we don't use them as the authority. The only way you should have an authority in your life is to recognize him in what someone is saying or what you believe or what you're reading. Is he saying, this is for you? This is what I want you to pay attention to. This is what's going on in your life. He's that big. He knows what's going on in your life. He has an answer, a specific answer for you right now. He has a solution to your problem right now. You may not want to hear it. You may have to take some responsibility for some decisions you've made. That's fine. God's not mad at you. But that doesn't mean you're going to be able to avoid consequences. Embrace the situation you're in. Recognize that this is, whatever it is, it's a gift from God. Because through your situation, he can remove the hindrances that are keeping you from the full eternal life he has available for you right now. But this is why we struggle with the scriptures. It's because we have so many misbeliefs about their actual value, role in our life. Again, you don't need the scriptures to know God. If you were on a desert island and you didn't have the Bible, would you be able to know him? And I can hear some people say, well, that's why it's so important to have it memorized. No, that memorized scripture is going to keep you from hearing him when he comes to you on that desert island. You're going to rely on what you have control over. And the more you memorize scripture, the purpose of that is to control it. We all memorize and remember that which accommodates our predispositions, our beliefs, and our temperament. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard about, you know, we all claim the promises, but there's a promise that God will smear dung in our faces. You know, how many are claiming that promise? And we use it to hit ourselves and others, and especially non-believers. You know, that in order for them to become Christians, they need to read the Bible. Our faith is not Bible-based. Our God is not the God of the Bible. He's the God of everything. And the Bible just happens to be one of those things that he is God of. You know, he's also the God of Quran. He's also the God of Buddha, of every single religion that there's ever been. He's the God of them, whether they believe in him or not. He's the God. But they have taken an aspect that suits them and conformed it to their situation. And that's exactly what so many religions, religious aspects of Christianity have done. So it's not that we're throwing out the Bible, but we're only utilizing it as God says. It's no more life-giving than anything else that God puts in your hands. It may be much more important for you right now to be reading a financial book on how to get out of debt, or a health and nutrition book about how to take care of your body, or a relationship book, how to communicate with your spouse. These books might be much more important than reading your Bible every night. The only way you're going to know is to hear from God. Oh, and yes, I'm hearing people say, but all that's in the Bible. Well, if you've been reading the Bible all this time and going to church and doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing, how come you're in the situation you're in? It's because God will not allow you to idolize anything in your life. And if you are idolizing the Bible, if you're turning to the Bible first, that's all an idol is. It's anything you turn to before you turn to God himself. He will not let that stand. So, getting back to, I think about Paul and how frustrated he must be wherever he is, knowing that he wrote probably hundreds, if not thousands, of letters, and probably went into great detail about his journey, how he knew God, how he knows him, how to relate to him, what he sees as far as relationships. And I love where he talks about, this is my advice to you, not God's. And he distinguishes between what he perceives as something he's received from God to be given to the church and what he believes out of his own judgment. He has that confidence that this is what I think would be good in this situation. He counsels out of himself. We too must learn to evaluate our own judgment and develop it. And we do that as we depend on God, not because we know the scriptures or we've been to seminary or because we have a gift or are in the fivefold ministry, which, by the way, isn't in the Bible. But all these things fall into place as we depend and on God first. Turn to him first. Lord, what do we do with this? What do I do in this situation? Instead of what would Jesus do, it's Lord, what do I do? What lie am I believing here? Lord, do you want to talk to me about this? You know, real basic stuff. He starts with us where we are right now. And he's gentle and kind and encouraging. He knows what we need. Why? Why does he go so out of his way to be gentle and kind with us? to share himself with us? Why does he care about us? Well, again, what is your purpose? As far as God's concerned, your purpose is single. He created you for one reason and one reason only, and that is to receive him so that he can share fully himself. That's it. Not so he can be glorified. He can glorify himself. I love that illustration where Jesus is praying and he says to the Father, Father, glorify yourself. Not I glorify you, but he says, glorify yourself. And the Father's answer is, I have and I will continue to do so. He's not somewhere sitting on a cloud going, oh my gosh, I need a glory fix. My glory meter's running low. Nobody's glorifying me. Nobody's worshiping me. Nobody's singing my praises, or not enough. Or wait a minute, they're supposed to be doing a 24/7, worship at all times, praise me at all times, and they're not, so I guess I'm going to send an earthquake onto California. Or, oh my gosh, they're allowing sin to flourish in their country. I guess I'm going to, you know, send a despot to a tyrant to govern them, to punish them for allowing sin in their country. How petty do we think he is? That's our thinking. That's our selfish, soulish feeling, mental, willful approach to life. That's not the way God is. Those are not his characteristics. Does God hate sin? Absolutely. So he did something about it 2,000 years ago. Did he do it halfway? Hardly. He did it so thoroughly that it took what he did by his own strength, took care of all the sin that ever existed, that has yet to be committed and was committed before Jesus came. And I even wonder if we can even say it was committed. Or it's possible to even call it sin now because it's already been wiped out. But that's a whole other banville we don't want to go into right now. The whole point being is that because of the mix of law and grace and our misunderstanding, if we truly followed the scriptures, we would not have the attitude towards the scriptures that we have now. We would taste and see for ourselves. We would understand that everything that Jesus did, he did so much and showed so much of his Father and explained so much that there would not be enough books to contain it. That's what's in the Bible. That I cannot see, nor ear hear, neither can the mind comprehend what Jesus has for us, what God has for us right now. But we say, no, if it's not in the Bible, we can't let our imaginations go there. But that's not what the scriptures say. So we're not even following what we're saying we're following. If we were, and that's what, in the scriptures, that's what Jesus says. You say you follow the scriptures, and yet you don't. Because if you did, you would recognize me. So let's understand this is, we're not anti-scripture. We are simply pro-God. The purpose for his coming, for his crucifixion and his resurrection, was not so that you could read a book or occasionally feel his presence or have an insight. It is not to, you know, the occupy till I come. Honey, he's come. He's come right now. Oh, he's coming again. Here, okay, he came, he just now came again. He's sitting right next to you. He's speaking in your ear right now. Are you hearing him? Your time for occupying is over. Your job now is to rule and reign. You are a son of God. Act like it. The reality is in your spirit. So it's not like you're faking it. You are a son of God. You are a co-inheritor, not a lesser inheritor. A joint heir with him, not a lesser heir. You're inheriting, you've inherited everything he's inherited. And yet you're saying, no thanks, I'll wait till I die. How disrespectful and how hurtful for ourselves. It takes responsibility to inherit. You'll have to change. You'll have to get healed. You'll have to change your perception of what control is. God does not want you out of control. He wants you under the control of your spirit. Right now, it's your soul, your self-life, that is doing everything it can to maintain control. And very often, that the center for a religious Christian is, of that control is the scriptures. And we've all heard that, that if you don't have the scriptures as a standard of behavior, the manual God left us, then you'll fall into deception. Well, guess what? You are deceived. I am deceived. Any area right now where you don't have that perfect, not just understanding, but reality in your spirit, soul, and body, you are deceived. Because all deception is anything less than the perfect holiness of God. Now, I'm certainly not saying, and I don't think anybody else is saying, we're not deceived because we're perfect and holy and righteous, spirit, soul, and body. Walk through this wall. What that's going to look like is you have perfect authority in reality, in time, and over time, and over all physical barriers. In other words, anything Jesus could do or the disciples, you can do and greater right now. And I suspect if that was true of anyone, we all would have heard it. And when we look at the history of the Bible, and again, when you really start finding out when it was written, do we think that there were no Christians before the Bible was written? I suspect that they were had a much better relationship, much closer, much more intimate relationship with God than we do, because they didn't have a book to rely on, to go to first. So that's where we're heading, is we want to let God be God and let him teach us whatever he wants us to learn when we need it. Let him be our instructor, our guide. He will have you ready for tomorrow. You can rely on him. Do you trust him? And if you don't, that's fine. He will prove himself worthy of your trust. He will gain your trust. And remember, in your spirit, you do trust him. That's not the problem. Your spirit is not the problem. So thanks for tuning in. We may finish up a couple things about this next week, but then we'll probably be going on to another subject as well. Feel free to drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. And thanks for all the great feedback and the great questions that are coming in. Really appreciate hearing from you. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane at Prepare Radio. Have a great day.